Hi there, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome back to It's Your Health. I've always been needle phobic, so years ago when I was in an accident and someone recommended acupuncture for the pain, I was a bit weary. I was told it didn't hurt and could really help, so I put my fears aside and I went for it. And so I'm really glad I did. And since that time, I've used acupuncture time and time again, and it works wonders. Well, joining us today to talk about acupuncture, acupressure, homeopathy is David Sollers, the founder and medical director of First Health in Andover and author of the wonderful books, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Acupuncture and Acupressure and The Complete Idiot's Guide to Homeopathy. David is a diplomat for the North American Homeopathic Master's Clinician Course in the International Federation of Homeopathy. He holds a master's degree in Oriental Medicine and is certified in both Shiatsu and T-U-I-N-A, Oriental Massage. Thank you. He graduated from the New England School of Acupuncture. He has been practicing health. He's been a practicing healthcare provider for over 21 years in the Boston Merrimack Valley area, offering a wide range of healing options for his patients. Continuing healthcare. David, welcome to It's Your Health.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for having me on.
Good morning. Now, I understand that Jason Henson will be on the show as well at some point this morning.
He will. We are calling you from the clinic, so Jason is with patients. So if things work out well, you'll be able to drop in for a second and talk to us about a perspective of how to keep your kids healthy during the cold and flu season, which is, I think, on a lot of people's minds.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, David, I'd like to start actually with the quote from your wonderful book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Acupuncture and Acupressure. It says, "When my patients respond favorably from undergoing acupuncture and acupressure therapies, they almost always look surprised and ask two questions. Why didn't I do this sooner? And how on earth does this stuff work?" So what do you tell your patients?
That's a great question. Most of the time when people come in, they're surprised at how much of a non-experience acupuncture is from a pain perspective. It really is a very fine, thin needles that people hear the word needles and they think about a hypodermic needle. It's the number one reason why people don't go to acupuncture. When I first started doing acupuncture back about 26 years ago, people had really no idea about acupuncture, what it was. They knew it was something Asian or something Chinese or something like that. They'd maybe seen something in a, you know, Kung Fu 1977 David Carradine episode, but that was about it. And since then, we go from not knowing anything to now, I think acupuncture is quite favorable in the press. You're seeing it integrated into many different medical programs, health institutes, private clinics, hospitals, and we're starting to see the efficacy studies come back very favorable for acupuncture. Although we don't understand all the mechanisms, I think the general buzz in the community and even in the medical community is that it has its place in medicine and that we're looking to find out which areas that it has the most effect in and how we can integrate it into our total medical care that's delivered in this country. So that's, you know, we'll talk to patients about why you didn't come before because you were mostly afraid, and now you're not afraid. We'll have patients look at us and say, "Is that it? Is that it?" And I'll say, "Yes, that is it." I said, "You know, the next thing is you just get better." And that's when they'll say, "Why didn't I do this before? I heard about you guys a year ago, a year and a half ago, but I thought it was going to kill me, so I didn't come in." And I'll say, "Well, sorry. You know, now that you know," and I tell them, "Listen, I can make it hurt if you want, if you want something to talk about, but it's actually not a big deal." And then as far as how things work, I usually try to go from a patient's perspective. So if you're coming in for headaches, what you'd really like to do and what our job is to really arm the person with knowledge so that when their friends or spouse talks to them about acupuncture, that they have the information they need in order to let their spouse or friends know, "Listen, I'm not crazy. This stuff could work."
So definitely. We
try to tell them specifically for their case why acupuncture may be a reasonable thing for them to do. We set reasonable expectations and time limits so that we do not have an inexhaustible amount of time or money. None of us do. So we set a reasonable time frame in which you can explore acupuncture as a therapy for whatever you're coming in for. And then we start to give them information about why acupuncture might be a good choice for them for this particular condition. And that's what they need to go out into the world, because they don't have all their friends and family with them when they're coming in, and because acupuncture is still unique. You know, only 4% of the U.S. population has had acupuncture.
Really? So I would have thought it was higher, I think, because I live in my own alternative, you know, medicine world here on It's Your
Health. Because we live on the coast.
That's true. I'm from California.
Ohio.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, I'm
yeah.
from Ohio. I'm a Buckeye originally, so I know the mentality of the Midwest, and it's a slow adopter of many new things. So you know, when we talk about the country, we have a sort of a bi-coastal point of view. What's going on in California? What's going on in, you know, the East Coast? But there's this giant country in the middle that really has not started to jump on these kinds of therapies as an option. Many of it because they had state laws that were not favorable to acupuncture, naturopathy, some of the other integrative medical specialties. And as those start to change, then you'll see people have good experiences, which will lead to the growth of any industry, including acupuncture.
Yeah, I mean, it really, the word needs to get out there. That's why I'm so glad you're on today, because in your, you know, awesome book, you talk about acupuncture being good for dozens of ailments. You mentioned headaches, there's infertility, respiratory issues, colds, cancer, injuries, nerve pain, gastrointestinal conditions, stress, and more. What conditions do you see in your practice the most?
Well, that's a great question, Lisa. And as far as the conditions that we see most in this practice, we're family health care. So I think what we reflect is a community's health care issues. So we've got two kinds of folks that really come in. Those that have a condition that's chronic and has not responded favorably or satisfactorily to conventional medicine, either because they have an allergy to medication, or they've not been able to be helped at all. But what's more common is what I call a gap in care. They've actually been helped by conventional medicine, whether it's physical therapy, whether it's pharmaceutical, whether it's occupational therapy. They have been helped. But there's a gap in that care where their quality of life is still not what they want. So then they come to us and say, can we close the gap? I'm better, but can I get better than this? And that's what's more common. So we see what really falls in between the cracks. I think you start out with chronic pain, Lisa. And as you know, pain is people that are in chronic pain look for solutions. So the pain in categories for us follow the national registry for what's most popular in pain. The first one is back pain. The second one is headaches. Third is joint pain. Mm-hmm. Fourth is cancer. And the fifth is nerve-like pain. And those are the five categories of chronic pain, and that's what we see as well. People come in with back pain. It's still one of the most debilitating injuries for work-related injuries, and also headaches, whether they're tension headaches, muscular headaches, menopause-induced headaches. All of these kinds of headaches really ruin your, just absolutely limit your possibilities
sure
as
do.
A person. And then, of course, cancer pain, nerve pain, joint pain has actually passed the second category because we have a large demographic, which I'm a part of, that is aging, and we're starting to see that some of the arthritic pains that we have are starting to limit our activities, and the baby boomers do not like that. They want to stay active, be active, chart their own course, do their own thing, and so they're looking at acupuncture and some of our other therapies as a way to actually improve the quality of their life.
Oh, that's great. Now, David, I open up my show to the listeners who emailed in some questions for you. Deborah from Lynn wants to know about using acupuncture to help quit smoking.
Oh, yeah, sure. Here's what I know about that, is that the people that have been successful with smoking cessation are the ones that are using a protocol that was first done in the Bronx Hospital in New York, pioneered by Dr. Michelson, where he started doing, looking at how the brain works and what chemicals are secreted with acupuncture. Uh-huh. And he started using this with drug detox of many different kinds, whether it was for alcohol, whether it was for heroin addiction, or cocaine addiction. And he started pioneering some ear needle acupuncture for these to be used in conjunction with other like counseling, urinalysis, other sort of drug detox methodologies. That basic protocol has remained true and has been exported throughout the world. There are clinics that add needle acupuncture to many different sort of drug detox clinics. So the idea is that you can use acupuncture to treat that, but here's what you really want to find out. This is what I speak to most people about. Whether we're talking about eating disorders, whether we're talking about smoking, whether we're talking about other sort of anxieties, depressions, what's behind that? So if you're smoking, typically there's a reason why you started smoking. I mean, there's certainly, we've certainly passed the generation where everybody believes that smoking is harmless. I mean, you're not alive and think that smoking is good for you these days. I mean, the past 20, 30 years, the word is out. So if you're smoking, something's up. And what you have to find out is, what is up? Are you using smoking to medicate an anxiety disorder, a nervous, some sort of condition, that's what needs to be treated? So often smoking is a very effective treatment and medication or compensator for some other condition. So we have to find out what's that condition, and we treat that as well as treating the condition for the ear acupuncture and put in that area where we can give you a good 36 to 40 hours of relaxed sensation. And that's what's used in drug detox or smoking cessation programs, because the ear acupuncture will create up to 36 or 40 hours of enhanced endorphins, serotonins that are in the brain that will actually help you be able to relax, sleep better, your body feel more relaxed. So as part of a smoking cessation program, I think that's how it best fits. But going behind the issue and finding out, when you started smoking, what was it good for? And as you've progressed in life, what are the things that smoking actually makes you feel better about? And that's going to lead you to the key of how they use it to compensate for something in their life. And that's what needs treated.
I am so glad that you brought that up. That is fantastic, because I am very big on finding the cause. You know, you've got to treat the cause, not just the symptom.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know, you had mentioned sleep a moment ago. Now, this is moving on to homeopathy, but Zoe asks, are there homeopathic remedies for children with special needs that have problems sleeping?
That's a great question. Now, homeopathy, of course, again, I did write the Idiot's Guide to Homeopathy.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about it first, and then if you can answer her question, actually.
Well, the Idiot's Guide series, if you look at who reads these, the Idiot's Guides, they're very smart. Idiots and Dummies books, they're
yeah,
no
I love
dummies
those.
And they're no idiots. What they're doing is they're looking at future large mass trends that are moving through. So they're looking at a large population of people and saying, what are going to be the future trends that a population here and abroad want to know about? You got to remember that these are multinational publishing companies. So
okay.
The Idiot's Guide, when I first started writing, it was for Pearson Education. They've been bought out by Penguin. Now, I think we all recognize that
Penguin
Groups
yes.
are one of the largest book distributors on our planet.
Sure
so
is.
When they start looking at something, they're looking at it from a global perspective, because that's their distribution channel. Not just what's going on in the U.S., what's going on in the East Coast. They're actually looking at global trends. So when they looked at acupuncture, and this I started working with them back in 98, wrote, I think, Acupuncture and Acupressure was released in 2000. We had a good experience working and writing together. I hit all my deadlines. If you want to make a publisher happy, you just hit your deadlines, and they'll love you forever.
Oh, that's good.
And then they asked me right after that to write homeopathy. And so I said, okay, because they were looking at future trends and seeing that homeopathic medicine, which are minute dilutions of many different substances. There's been probably 6,000 or 7,000 substances that have been turned into a homeopathic remedy, and those can be used for a variety of different conditions. Now, like acupuncture, they're catalysts for the system. They start to stimulate a process in the body, and that catalyst is helpful for a metabolic syndrome, for behavioral issues, to continue. So I think about these two things, acupuncture and homeopathy. When something is stuck, something that should be going well is not going well, and it's stuck. A person is stuck in a behavioral pattern. A system like your stomach, like your bowels, like your menses are stuck in a particular pattern. But when you examine the patient, there's no reason, there's no organic reason why this person is feeling this way. Something is off. And you can use both acupuncture and homeopathy as a catalyst for that healing. And we have to remember that only the body heals. We can use medicines, we can use therapies, we can use all kinds of things, but only the body changes its course and starts to heal. Everything else that we're doing is actually a tool to increase the body's ability to heal. So getting back to Zoe's question, homeopathy can be used as a catalyst for many kind of behavioral issues and disorders, and this is how I frequently use it. because in our clinic we have such a variety of tools that we can use to help with children. We have a whole pediatric department where we have a naturopath that can use food and substances. We have pediatric dietitians. We also have pediatric dietitians that have specialties in disabilities and learning disorders.
Oh, wow.
So we also have Jason, who you'll hear from in a moment.
Oh, terrific.
Does pediatric acupuncture, Japanese shonishin, rubbing acupuncture, and Japanese herbal medicine. So we're lucky in that we have a variety of ways to approach this. But I will tell you that I think that homeopathy is still one of the most effective ways to treat behavioral disorders. Now, that is usually in conjunction with other medicines. And the nice thing about this, Lisa, is that you can add homeopathy to conventional pharmaceuticals, and there's no interaction. And that's why they're safe to use. So you use these small substances that have been highly diluted, so they've been shown in the past to help really move someone through the change, whether they're having OCD, you know, like your questioner is asking us, or whether you're talking about anxiety, night terrors, anger issues, lots of ADD or HD issues. Those are things that can be used in conjunction with their normal therapy treatments and pharmaceutics. Now, so it's a very valuable tool overall.
Now, if people live in a different state, can they work with you over the phone? Because you have such an amazing clinic and you have so much to offer. Is that possible, or do people need to come in person? I mean, obviously acupuncture, you have to come in. But do you ever can you prescribe homeopathy over the phone or get enough history from the person, or how does that work?
Well, first, thank you for that compliment.
Oh,
I think
sure. We've
got a great team and a wonderful place of healing here. So what I would say is that the first thing that we do when we have patients that move mm-hmm. or patients who have relatives or friends in some other area, they, like you, say, listen, these guys are great. You need to see them. So we frequently take calls. You know, somebody who's living in Quincy and a friend says, listen, you've got to go see this clinic. You've got to come to First Health. They're amazing. Now, of course, while I agree with that, I really don't want someone from Quincy. I really do my best to find somebody down there that I know.
Well,
I think it's the most appropriate thing. If somebody calls us and wants to know, do you know somebody in, you know, X?
Yeah,
we try to look through our contact list and find them, or we can give them national list to find people that are in their area. And if we know them, then we'll say, listen, we know these guys, they're good. You know, like down the Cape, a friend of mine, Arlie Myers, I went to school with her, I've known her for her years, her husband's a lawyer and a trumpeter, and I can say, listen, these are great guys. They you know, go down and see Arlene if you're down on the Cape. And we'll do that. If we know them, we'll recommend
them.
That's
nice. Oh, that's
we
great.
Can do homeopathy over the phone, herbal medicine over the phone, because we have patients that typically they might move from here. And if they're established patients and we've seen them, then we're happy to help them until they find someone in their area.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes you move to a place in the country and there just is no one.
That's what I was going to say. When
you know,
we're
and that happens. And I'm from a state where that's true, unfortunately. You know.
Now, how long have you been here from Ohio, by the way?
Well, I moved here back in 84, I think, 83 or 84.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been here. Since then, I still have some sort of Midwest speech patterns and, you know, some other things I've tried to work with. Because, as we know, you guys have the funny dialect, not me.
Well, I'm a Californian, so I don't know. I've been here almost 10 years. So, but, yeah, I am pretty much a coastal girl either way. But
yeah,
now,
yeah,
is
sure.
Did you say Jason was available to speak
Jason
with us?
Is available, and okay. I'm happy to bring him on. He just stepped
great.
In. He's seen a couple patients now, so he has a minute.
Oh, terrific.
But, you know, Jason Henson is a licensed acupuncturist and herbalist. We brought him in. He's been here 2 or 3 years. And what I can tell you about him is that he has the qualities that I look for. One, academically, he's very smart. He won a lot of the awards when he was in school. He impressed both the academic dean and the clinical dean, who are friends of mine, who actually gave me his name when I was looking for someone. They said, this is the top guy in class. And he also has the things I find are important in any clinician. The true desire to help people. You can't pay people enough to have that. You either have it or you don't.
That's true.
You have to have patience with yourself to learn. You have to have an ability to be humble. And you also have to have a true desire to learn and improve in your life. And those are things that no paycheck will get you. But this gentleman has exhibited all of these traits, and I feel very fortunate to have him here. So I'm going to turn the phone right over to Jason.
Oh, thank you so much. Jason?
Hi, how are you, Lisa?
Good. And also another endorsement, my 5-year-old daughter adores you. And
oh, well,
we still need to come back. It's been a while, but you were really helpful with her. And if you can tell us a little bit about Shoney's Gin, and also if that can be helpful or if there's other things that can be helpful this flu and cold season.
Yeah, great. Well, that's exactly the hot topic right about now.
Sure, so
I do a pediatric acupuncture technique called Shoney's Gin, which is historically comes from Japan. And in Japan, they are their style of acupuncture is very subtle. And for children, we don't use needles. We don't do anything that breaks the skin. We use all very gentle techniques to stimulate the child's the acupuncture points in the body, which really are having an effect through the nervous system, and often have a very relaxing effect on the body, and can really help to address some of the things that Dave was talking about in terms of, you know, children can get into these type of patterns as well, and you know, these acupuncture techniques have a great effect in helping to break some of those type of patterns that the body gets into. So with Shoney's Gin, we use techniques where we'll be tapping on the skin with different type of little tools and or rubbing on the skin or, you know, vibrating on the skin in different ways. And often the children are very interested in what we're doing. The tools all sort of look sort of funny to them, and they often like to look at them and pick out ones that they want me to use for them.
Yep.
So it's really fun for the kids. And I'll give you an example of I think is a really interesting observation. I had a 6-year-old girl in here about a month ago, and it was her first visit, and I was simply just touching her skin with one of these little tools and an acupuncture point, and she said, you know, well, what does that one do? And I said, oh, you know, we just use it just to touch here like this. And she said, well, but it puts energy in you, right?
Oh.
And so I don't ever talk about acupuncture that way. I tend to talk about it in more of a physiological Western biomedical sense. So I looked over at her mom and I said, did you tell her? And her mom was like, I didn't tell her anything about what we're doing. So children often are very sensitive to what we're doing, and they're really in tune with their bodies a lot more and sensitive to these things we're working with. So I find that the Shoney's Gin techniques can be really helpful for a number of situations, you know, including helping to sort of tonify and strengthen the immune system, but also for, you know, a variety of, you know, emotional anxiety issues, things like digestion. I've treated lots of infants, you know, just a couple weeks old, for reflux or what we would call colic-type symptoms quite effectively. So
that's
I think it's a nice thing. Again, it's very gentle, very safe, and can also be easily incorporated with other types of therapies.
Oh, that's good. Now you mentioned the immune system strengthening. Is that going to help, obviously, with the cold and the flu season? And what about other herbal remedies as well?
There's a number of things, you know, of course, with the cold and flu season that are very important for children as well as adults. But, you know, obviously there's the hand washing and, you know, eating a well-balanced diet with, you know, plenty of fruits and vegetables. And, of course, some parents have a hard time getting their children to eat, you know, some of these things that we want them to eat. But it is important to get that into their system. And you know, if they're not eating a really great, well-rounded diet, if they're a little bit picky, you know, there's a number of whole food-based, you know, vegetable and fruit supplements that they can take. You can make those into smoothies that taste really good for the kids and help them get some really whole food-based nutrition, vitamins and minerals that they really need to help their body function optimally. You know, on top of that, there's a couple of nutritional supplements that I find very important for keeping children healthy and keeping their immune system strong. The first one would be a probiotic supplement, and that's the good beneficial bacteria that's in our digestive system. And our digestive system forms a really large part of our immune system because it's a barrier for bacteria and for viruses from entering the body. And there's been some recent research that was really well done that showed children who take a probiotic supplement have fewer colds each year, and they're also much more mild and shorter lasting.
Oh, that's good. And they're really there's some really great ones out there. My daughter takes some. I don't remember the brand, but I know
there's a number of good brands, and, you know, I'm not going to endorse anyone now, but I think for anybody who's listening, you know, you want to find one that's child-specific. Mm-hmm. And, you know, preferably, you know, a good quality company so that we know that the dosage and the potency are well done. And you know, if, sometimes you can find those in different places, or you might want to consult with someone who may be more knowledgeable about it that might be, you know, more suited for a child's needs.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because one of my daughter's favorite things to eat is sliced apple with cashew butter with powdered acidophilus on top. Like, she likes the way it tastes.
Yeah.
And it's just seeing, you know, I don't think, what is she eating? They come over, oh, that's just, it's really good. It's, you know, and she must have a great gut because she eats so
much. Yes, exactly. And that's wonderful to hear. And that's, you know, that's a great little snack. And there's, you know, you need to be inventive sometimes to wait, you know, and if you do that and you're creative, the kids will love it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, I'm sorry, there was going to be a couple others that you said?
Yeah, there's definitely a few more things. So, you know, fish oil, which is another really important component of a supplement program for the immune system. And of course, you know, we can eat fish, but oftentimes, you know, where people are worried about, you know, the mercury contamination in fish, and especially with children, you know, you don't want them eating too much of that. And even with dietary sources, it's hard to get the real benefits of a full therapeutic dosage of something like fish oil from your diet.
Yeah, you know, there's
fish oil.
I wish I remembered the brand because it's amazing, but they have they're sweetened with basically strawberry essence. And there's strawberry, and it's a DHA, and then there's a lemon 369 omega that she takes. And I they're expensive, and I have to watch myself because they taste so good. I'll end up giving her a few, and then I'm eating them by the handful.
Yeah,
wait.
I think that's
Nordic Naturals. Nordic Naturals.
And they make
delicious.
Them, and they're really good, well tasting for kids. And sometimes, you know, they're chewable, or you can get a liquid. And you know, again, I find, you know, making a smoothie with some of these things can be really easy. The children don't even know that it's in there.
Exactly.
And you know, fish oil foam is a really important part of the. Central fatty acids form an important part of our immune response, and if that's missing in our diet, then we're not going to have an adequately functioning immune system, and you know, children will be more likely to get sick. So
that's
the second component. And then the third, which is something that's been in the news a lot recently, is vitamin D, and there's been some big studies that have shown that children across the board are deficient in vitamin B, D.
Mm-hmm.
The typical recommendation for a vitamin D dosage would be about 400 IUs per day, and that's your standard recommendation. However, the only way to really know whether they're getting a sufficient amount of vitamin D is through testing. So I do recommend for all of the children who I see in clinic that they, through their pediatrician, you know, ask to get a vitamin D test, and that is a blood test. And you want to look to keep your levels of vitamin D between 50 to 80 year-round. And we get vitamin D from the sun, so that might mean that we need a different dosage of vitamin D in the winter as opposed to in the summer.
Oh,
and
okay.
The reason we want to keep it between 50 to 80 is because the body doesn't start storing vitamin D until it gets to that level of 50. And so anything below that, we're constantly trying to make up for it on a daily basis. And vitamin D is another very important component of helping to have a properly functioning immune system. And we see that low levels of vitamin D often lead to a number of immunocompromised issues. So, again, that level of 50 to 80 is what we're really gearing towards to have, you know, an optimally functioning immune system and a really strong, healthy child.
Oh, that's great. Now, Jason, I feel bad. We're actually going to be out of time in about 10 seconds.
That's okay, because those were the top three, and I really wanted to talk about those. So
hopefully
we got that information out there.
Just thank David, and I'd love to have you guys back on sometime in the fall. I mean, in the spring. I want to thank you again so much for coming on today.
That was
wonderful. Everyone, be sure to listen. There's a lot of great stuff coming up next week. Check the website. It's yourhealthradio.org. Have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.